We encourage you to take your Bible to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And we continue on that awful description of the Antichrist. But Revelation 18 doesn't bring to our attention the issues of what the Antichrist will do, but rather give us a description of the collapse of the political religious Antichrist. I have seen over and over in Revelation 16, 17, the association of the church with the Antichrist. And now we see the doom, actually the end of that association, all right? So we go through the verses, hopefully we go through all the verses tonight so I can go to Revelation 19, God's willing, on the first Sunday in September. But at least we get an information from the scripture that this political church, who is nothing more than Antichrist, will come to an end. And not by ourselves, but by God. Lord, let's start. First, there is a great angelic announcement in verse 1. Now, the angel come from heaven, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. So the angel come from the home where God is, the headquarters of God. Now, the angel is coming with great authority. Look at in verse 1, having great power. The word is not athothia, which is authority, but the word is exousia, which means they have the liberty to execute judgment as he please. Now, Jesus came with great authority to do what the Father said, but this angel have authority to do whatever the angel wants to. That's the way the Greek word describes it, exousia. And this angel is not going to fool around then. It's going to do exactly what God wants either way. That's some people think they can manipulate God. You cannot. When an angel like this comes down, there is no way that you can manipulate God, because the angel is going to get you and have the authority. God doesn't have to go back to heaven and get a new authority to execute something different. He had the authority to do whatever is necessary to accomplish God's way. And the angel is glorious in nature, is here, and the earth was lightened with his glory. You know, when you go to the East Coast, you have those lightnings. We don't have so much here in the Bay Area, but in the East Coast, especially you go to Florida. One time we were driving in Florida, and boy, you get those lightnings. The whole road is clear as can be, and it's scary. Or sometimes you fly, and sometimes at 42,000 feet, you have those lightnings that, man, scare you to death, to even though the planes carry rods to absorb these. Is very shaken. And one time we were striking by one, and the plane ball moves every day, and then you see everything around you in a mighty way. Well, glorious, he said, was lightened with his glory. The whole earth was lightened with his glory. So God is not coming like in a manger, unknown. When God comes down to judgment, everybody will know. All right? Now, in verse 2 to 8, there is a reason why the religious Antichrist will be completely destroyed. Verse 2, they begin with a spiritual corruption. And he cried, the angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitations of devils. So, and the whole of every full spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In other words, this Babylon, this religious Antichrist, who is nothing more than really a corruption, is going to come to an end. Verse 3, the corruption, the destruction comes to her because the spiritual corruption is spread among the leaders of the nation. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed with rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So you can see that the corruption that she brought into this earth is a spread among the world. And God don't like that. Verse 4 and 5, she is going to be judged and destroyed because of the political religious antichrist will persecute because the corruption is so great that it's necessary to leave its association. Verse 4, and I've heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be no partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her pleasures. There were some believers who will be attracted to her, and God said to leave her. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. And so, therefore, God is saying that this church is going to be completely destroyed because it's going to be destroyed, we need to leave the association. There will be some people, perhaps not knowledgeable of theology, not knowledgeable of God enough, but believers, they will be enticed by this kind of church. And I even today, I hear people saying, well, you know, we like what you teach in the Bible and so on, but we have these churches so good, you know, we have the Elderly's Club. And I said, what do you do in the Elderly's Club? Well, we go play golf, we do this, we have dinners, we do this and the other. Nothing wrong to play golf or to do this. But if you go to church for the motivation of the Elderly's Club alone, then your motivation for going to church is not well. We see people who said, yes, when we hear you preach, it's fantastic, but you don't have a program for our children. Said, we do. He said, no, you don't. Yes, we do. We have every parent is a program for his children. He said, no, and our church has a program, and our children can enjoy them and so on. And so we don't provide any social activity. Well, that's nothing to compare when this church, this Antichrist church will come in. It will be absolutely evil and so on. And so the Bible says you leave them. In verse 6, the religious Antichrist will be destroyed because the political religious Antichrist will persecute the believers. Look at verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. In other words, she persecuted the true church. Right now, we can do what we want. The other church doesn't care what we do. But there will be a time where the political church will dominate the entire world. In China, still, there is no freedom to worship unless you are approved by the government. In Russia, the same thing. The Orthodox Church has to approve you if you want to have a church, or you want to pass a tract right there on the street. Then the Orthodox Church has to approve of your witness in the subway. You have to be approved by the Orthodox Church what you're going to say or do. And this is nothing to compare what the domination of this church is. So God remember that, and is going to be executed by that. Now in verse 7, the religious Antichrist is going to be destroyed because of her self-pride, glory, selfish extravagance, and indulgence. Look at verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously and pleasure. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, "It, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." In other words, they are self-sufficient. They are going to be like a successful enterprise, and so powerful that they will be indifferent to the other churches. And in verse 8 said, because God cannot put up with her anymore. Look at verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Look at the judgment of God. It's not just in time and time. It's in one day, said verse 8. Death, a mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So the panorama here of the destruction of the political religious Antichrist is very simple. God will let the political church go on and on until one day. And in that day, the Lord is going to finish with her. And so God said to all of us, if you're in a church like that, that the church is associating with political government and so on around the world, then you need to leave. Now, it's nothing like this yet. And somebody said to me, well, Pastor, is this the Lutheran church? Is this the Catholic church? Not yet, because in America, we're still free so far today. We're still free. We meet and we file papers to the government just for the legal credibility of our church and my legal credibility on your diplomas and so on, but not compare when the church is politically associated, all right? The church will, our church is not even, the government, they want to know how much money come in and so how many people are there and so on, but they don't tell us what to preach or do. But this church is going to be a church from the government. We left Argentina with a church from the government and the Catholic Church. And there were moments that you cannot be buried in the cemetery because you were not Catholic, and you will produce infections to the cemetery because you were an antichrist, they said. And so when I grew up with all of that. And so the British saved us by buying land and making the British cemetery where all the believers can be place in the cemetery there. It will cost a lot of money, but that's the way that it was. My family was buried in the British cemetery. And so these are just hints. The religious Antichrist church is going to be so unbelievable and powerful, especially you in America have no idea. You cannot even buy or sell unless they give you the permit to do so. Now, verses 9 to 17 makes a reference to the impact of this church. When the church is going to be destroyed, they're going to produce an impact in the world. And there will be lament from the political arena. Look at verse 9 and 10. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously or in pleasure with her shall bewail her and lament for her, for they shall see the smoke of her burning. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that great empire, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In other words, they're going to see at the very end, the political people will see at the very end of the destruction, will look on it, and they are amazed about that. In verse 11, there will be lament from the business world. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You know, when I have funny feelings when I go to a Christian bookstore, because they don't sell Christian books, Bibles only. They sell you all kind of little things, a pen with a cross, they send you this thing and the other. They send all kinds of artifacts like a business. I grew up in Argentina where the Bible store was just Bibles. They were licensed for Bibles, and the government would not allow them to sell anything else than Bibles. They care less about how many Bibles you sell, how many kinds of Bibles you sell. But if you have a license for Bible store, that's what it is, a Bible store. It's just the same in Mexico. You go to the Bible store in Mexico, there is not, you know, especially in Mexico, you don't want to mix a Bible with this crucifix and all of these. So the stores were very clear, absolutely marvelous. As a matter of fact, the best of the Bibles in Spanish are built and made in Mexico. And the stores in Mexico are really pure, wonderful stores on the Bible. And I read verse 11 that the business world mourn, and I said, I talked to the man here on the eternity here in town on the store. I said, what do you need all of this junk around? Cars and these and the other. Why don't you say Bibles? Well, nobody buy it. So it becomes a business. The church becomes a business. Verse 12 to 14, there is a particular reason why the business world mourns. Look at here from verse 12 to 14. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and the purple and silk and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, verse 13, and cinnamon, and odours, and ointments, and frankincense, and the wine, and oil, and the fine flour, and the wheat, and the beasts, and the sheep, and the horses, and the chariots, and the slaves, and the souls of men, and the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Boy, look at all the business the church did. Looks like a shopping center to me. That's what the church is going to become, worldly, a shopping center. Amazing. And so here are the particular reasons why these people, these merchants, lament the destruction of the church. Not because, boy, the religious atmosphere is gone. No, because their business are going. Now, verses 15 to 16, there will be a sorrowful reflex upon what was lost. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. In other words, the business are really going. Verse 17, there will be an awful mourning from the transportation of the world. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the companies in the ships and sailors and as many as strayed by sea stood afar off. So the church is a real Wall Street dominating the entire world. See? And now the world meets the church because of their business. Now look at verse 18 and 19. Religious antichrist will be absorbed by the state and cry when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their head and cry, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, thy great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships on the sea by reason of her coastlines, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. And so the expression is, the mourning of the merchant is, we lost business. The church is going to become so business-like that if the church is destroyed, then the businessman miss it. Not the believers in the church, the businessman miss it. So it's going to be so hiding into the environment that nobody knows until God comes to an end. Now, verses 15 to 20, the destruction of the religious antichrist is here. Verse 15, religious antichrist will dominate the world, according to verse 18. And cry when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? Now, I really want to look into verse 20. Look at what happened at the very end of everything. At the very end. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and the holy apostles and prophets. For God hath what? Avenged you on her. Now I learned something about it. I see churches around me who I listen to pastors' talks, and they are concerned, what can they do to increase the numbers, to enlarge the buildings, and to become notable in the city? What can they do? They have a meeting just a few weeks ago with Mayor Tate. Let's see, how can we locate more key zoning so the state's buildings can be built so that we can have the church noticeable. The people will notice there is a church there. You know, I want the church to be noticed by you. I want people to notice, well, these people belong to that church. Your behavior, your attitude, your godliness be spread all around here in the city or the city you live. And people will ask you, well, what do you do with your life? What do you do for fun? Like some people tell me, you know, the pastor thinks he's a very sad person. And they ask Raquel and me many times, I said, we went to places and they pour the wine and this and the other. I said, sorry, we don't drink, just give me a coffee. And they said to me, well, I'm so sorry for you. What do you do for fun? Yeah, I said, well, he said, well, what do you call fun? See? Well, you say, you know, you get one or two cups and you get happy. So I'm already happy. I don't need two or three cups or whatever they drink. It's just amazing, you know. In verse 20, now it turns around from the sadness of the destruction of the church. And verse 20 turn around and said, you Christians rejoice that the fake church is gone. That's what I say. Now, verse 21 to 24, the details preceding the destruction, all right? Verse 21, it will be brutal. That's my expression. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Brutal, no mercy. When God makes a destruction, there is no mercy. Remember my sermon on praying about you? There was the man who was, there and the Pharisees and this poor man there. And what did he say? He said, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's gone. Can you imagine a world where no man can say, God be merciful unto me, a sinner? It's gone. See, people, unbelievers have no idea what is ahead. Verse 21 and 22, it will be total. If you see here in verse 21, by the metal said, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. In other words, total. There will not be a partial destruction of this or the other, total. And verse 22, the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more in all of thee. In other words, this kind of church is gone. Now, here is the reason, verse 23 and 24, it's only one word to describe it, corruption. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the chance, were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophet and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. In other words, this church had no mercy with the believers, and so therefore God will not have mercy on her. Now I learned something. I'm very valuable. Somebody have no mercy on me. I don't have to revenge. God will take over. Remember, that makes sense according to Romans chapter 12. When I read the very end of this, make me so happy to look in Romans chapter 12 and to follow this. I was talking to Salvador about not being revengeable with his father and so on, and I said, why? Look at here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, said, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord. Wherefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's the message of the church. We are not here to criticize other church. We are not here to give you how bad is the other people in here. We are here to preach the gospel and to feed the people of God with the knowledge of the mighty power of God in your life. And God will judge the rest. I will not lose time in comparing this church with the other church. No, God said, this is my business. And God's going to carry and wait and wait and wait until the very end, when this false church called the religious antichrist will heap the total control of the world, and God take care of them. And we believers have to take care of one thing, to pursue the truth of God over and over and over, without trying to critique this one and the other, just to be faithful to what God said. That is the key. But the other church will come to an end. The Church of Christ, where the Church of Christ will go? To heaven, is that right? But the other church will not go to heaven, will be judged right here on earth. All right? Now, that's chapter 18, give you a collapse of the religious antichrist. Any question that comes to your mind because of this, or because something that we read this evening? This is an overall picture. And some people, you know what they do? They take one detail here and one verse over there, and they build an entire doctrinal and how the Lord is coming and so on. Other people said, this is you. You should leave your local church. There is no more church. God's not saying that. There's no more church. The religious antichrist church is no more, but not the local church and the faithful church. All right? Is there any question you have? Okay.
Babylon
is used because Babylon was used by God in Nebuchadnezzar's time to discipline Israel. And so it's a picture of something false that God used at one time. All right? The great city of Babylon, the Assyrians, God was used them. And the king, remember Nebuchadnezzar, he thought that he was like God. And then he lost everything. So God is giving a reflection of what happened right there in Daniel, to make us aware that one time Babylon looks good, but it was not. I remember what King Nebuchadnezzar said, the decree, they should worship me and this and the other, and that's what the religious church, the false church is just worshiping the building, worshiping the pastor, worshiping this, worshiping that. So God used that as a reminder, happened already, so this is what I'm going to do. Nebuchadnezzar was too fooled. Quickly, within 10 years, he thought that he was God. And then God wiped him off. Remember, he was walking on the earth, and like it is just bad. And so God, to give us a reference, he used that word Babylon. And everything is luxury in the Bible is called Babylon, because that's what Assyrians are. I told Ramil, so you wear a Babylonian's suit. Just stop it, he said. They know. All right, yes. Oh, I thought they... All right, any other question? All right, may God, again, this is an overall picture. The details, you can make anything you want to. But I like the overall picture because I know where I'm going. If I remain faithful, then God's going to take care of me in spite of whatever happened outside. All right? Lord, thank you that you are faithful to your church. And your church is not measured by buildings, size of people, status of the people. Your church is measured by the Lord Jesus Christ and the hearts of people. Bless our young people, because we don't know what world they will see. But Lord, give them the protection to know you and to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this information so that when we choose where to have a church and how to have a church, we don't go by what the business people go, but we go with a peaceful mind that if we are doing God's work and that we honor you, you always will be faithful to us. Lord, bring the people to here and bless those guests that were here this morning with the knowledge that here in this church we don't fool around, whether it's in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening. We're trying to inform people what the Bible really says. And by feeding God's people, they become strong, and hopefully they become excellent Christians, living testimony of the grace of God in their life. Again, Lord, bless our tiny ones, that they may have the security and the peace of heaven. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God bless you.